It's a great honor and pleasure to be here today, and to thank to Pastor Rick and Pastor Robin. We've known Rick and Robin now for what, 14 years or so, 12. It's long. Eternity, you know. Praise be the Lord. And we're kindred, you know. Immediately, Rick and I bonded in the spirit. I mean, you just have those kindred spirits that automatically, when you meet somebody, you know that Christ is in them, and you have that bond, you know. And it's such a lovely thing. And Cindy and I, we came off. I'm a second career pastor and was in manufacturing for 30 some odd years. And the Lord called me into ministry. And you get the rest of that story in Bible study. The short of it is that when God decides you're His disciple, you know, no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and those who the Son chooses to reveal Him to. Matthew and Luke tell us that. Luke 10:22, actually. And I was Robin's New Testament teacher, and Rick and I shared many years in Beyond the River. This is a little parenthesis here. And I did a count. I had 85 students. Robin was the best. Went through the New Testament section of our academy training, of which 82 of them currently serving LCMC congregations across the country. I had students in Turkey. We had students in Macedonia. We had students in California. That's the other foreign country, right? What we have seen is a rise of the Holy Spirit in churches just like yours, that we're not Lutheran, we're not Baptist, we're Christian. Called by God to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And so Cindy and I, when we our intent was to retire and get closer to our grandchildren. We got 12 grandchildren, and 9 of them were we just got 2 more because my son remarried, and we had 2 more. So now we're up 14. Can't keep track of them all. Our intent was to get closer to our grandkids, and so we'll take an easy retirement job. We'll just become intentional interim pastors, and that way we have more time to see our grandkids. And this was a year and a half ago, and I've seen my grandkids twice. You know, okay, 3 times. They do come visit every once in a while. I like to use Paul's introduction, and he's in Jude is similar. But he says, okay, we're ready for a slide. He says, beloved of God, called to be saints. So let's flip through we've already read Jude, so let's flip through Jude. I'll refer back to it, so you'll have to look in your bulletin or in your Bible. Keep going, next slide. Next slide. Next slide. There you go. All right. Agapikos theos philetos agios. That's Greek. And so if y'all want to talk in tongues today, I thought we'd do a little tongue talking. And that means beloved of God, called to be saints. Isn't it wonderful? You're beloved of God. Beloved of God. You know, I like the song we just sang. Whom or what shall we fear? What shall we fear? We're beloved of God. And beyond that, we're called to be a saint. You know? And what is a saint? A saint is one who has given their life, died to the world, and been born again through the Holy Spirit. Child of God. Beloved of God, you're called to be saints. Whew. I get the goosebumps just talking about it. So how are we to respond? You know, but so, being so very thankful, this thankfulness that our Heavenly Father sent His only begotten Son, that all who believe in Him not perish, but have eternal life. We all got that memorized, right? John 3:16. So, true Christians, then, are saints because we're separated from the world. Remember, James writes, you know, you can't love the world. That's enmity with God. It's against God. And everything of the world kind of just falls in this fallen path. And if you are, if you live in sin, then sin is your master. And the creator of sin is the devil. So we say we're by nature sinful because we're born into a corrupt world. Can't help it. It's just, that's what happened. So God had to take and make extraordinary means to pull us out of it, right? You know, you can't, you know, if you're drowning, you can't save yourself. You know, you're gone. Someone has to save you. Beloved of God. Thank God for Jesus. So we're cleansed by the blood of Christ. And you know, being cleansed by the blood of Christ, it's not something we see. Sometimes it's not something we even feel, but it has to be something that we know. You know? Because sometimes I feel pretty rotten. You know? Sometimes, like the Archangel Michael, I get pretty riled. But I know that God loves me. And because I'm His beloved, He's called me and separated me from the world to be a saint, to be His disciple. So, cleansed by the blood of Christ, transgressions are removed, washed away. Thus we can live a holy life. And by faith, our hearts, we hold in our heart this very precious faith. And this is the way we make our way of life. Planted and rooted in Jesus Christ through our baptism, that we can enjoy the grace of God. This grace is not only our seed of faith, but it's also our guardian. The guardian of our souls. The presence of God's Holy Spirit. The guarantee of our salvation until we receive it. Read that in Ephesians? Ephesians 1:14, I believe. So what greater peace can we have but the confident knowledge and sure conviction, Hebrews 11:1, through the love of Christ that we have been guaranteed this everlasting salvation. Yeah. And this is from God our Father, who has loved us and called us through Jesus Christ to be His holy people. It seems that those to whom Jude is writing today, you know, they shared in this heavenly blessing. They're just like us. Saints in the kingdom of God. You know, one of my favorite theologians is Linsky. I put Robert and Rick on Linsky this weekend. And what he says, I love his definition of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is all that is under the righteous rule of Christ. Well, go over to Matthew 28, and what does it say? 28:18. All authority, all power has been given to me. All power in heaven and earth is given to me. So what is not under Christ's rule? Nothing. You know? He even descended into hell. What did he come up with? The keys. You know, I don't think the devil gave it to him too gingerly, going, oh, here, you can have these. Nice present. Yeah, you think so? No, because how can you plunder a strong man's house unless you first, what, bind the strong man? And through the cross, gee, that's exactly what Jesus did. He bound the strong man. And in that, he is called a great multitude. There's a great multitude. Can you imagine what John saw in his view in Revelation? In Revelation 7, it says, behold, I saw a great multitude. I couldn't number people from every nation, every language. You know? Now, I've been to big concerts and big gatherings and you know, I was just hundreds of thousands of people at one time. But I've always been able to see the end of the line. But I get this picture, here's John, and he's up on, you know, we get to go right up on the throne with God. You know, here's God right behind him, he's looking out as far as he can see. I love the way that Paul describes the Spirit. He says, 14 years ago I knew a man that was caught up into the Holy Spirit. I'm not on time, Emma. Oh, good. Okay. I'll tell you another story about that in a minute. Very good. I knew a man that was caught up into the third heaven, he says, 14 years ago. But if he's in the Spirit, I can't tell. But he heard things that man cannot utter. Whether in the flesh or in the Spirit, I can't tell. Well, what's one of the things I taught you? Look between the lines. What does that say to us? It says that when we are made alive in the Spirit, and Jesus died in the flesh, He was made alive in the Spirit. What's that? 1 Peter 3:18. It says that something's different. Jesus walked out of that tomb. The tomb's empty. Amen. So, and it says that what will be hadn't quite happened yet. But when it does, we'll be like Jesus. Whoa, man, that's getting heavy. And when we talk about the disciples and all, they were what? They were locked up. Not only were the windows closed and the shutters sealed, the doors were locked, but they even locked the outer gate because they were scared somebody was going to come in and crucify them. And what happens? Whoop, Jesus just kind of walks through the veil and says, peace be with you. Oh, man. Where'd you come from? You know? They're from California. They've been going, dude, where'd you come from, dude? I had to ask Rick and Robin from California. Amen, dude. Okay, do that. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all of the multitude of heaven with white robes. You know what those white robes are, don't you? Okay, yeah, we've got to go to Revelation 19:8 to find out what our white robes are. It says that the bride was prepared and fine linen was given to her. And the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Beloved of God, called to be saints. That's your wedding garment. Righteous deeds. You know, I remember the Wizard of Oz, you know, good deed doer, you know. And not that we gain God's favor by our deeds, you know, because it's not by works are we made righteous. But it's through the love of Christ. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And they sang that. A multitude beyond number. So this is what Jude is talking about today in his letter. He says, let the gospel ring out from our witness. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. Amen. This is a wonderful and great blessing. This is our common salvation. That in Jesus Christ alone is the salvation of humankind. So Jude tells us we share in this common salvation. And it's great to talk about these things because it lifts up our spirit. But now it's time for us to contend for the faith. Fight for it, you can return the word. What's worth fighting for? It is worth fighting for. Some people enlist in the army, they fight for our country. I'll tell you about the biggest struggle of my life so far. Y'all are the first ones, first congregation I've shared this. And if I can't make it through it, my wife will pick it up. I had a daughter, and she got into drugs. She got into trouble. She did 2 years in county jail. She did 5 years in prison. Church every Sunday. Confirmation. Pray at meals. Read the Bible with her. But sometimes the world just grabs you, doesn't it? And before you know it, you're so caught into sin that you can't help yourself. You're drowning. The Lord told me, be faithful to the one you love. So from the day that she was arrested, almost without fail, unless I was physically not able to make it, that was my Sunday service. For 7 years. When she got out, finally got paroled, I had to lie there with my brother. And my brother, he's a good Christian man. His heart is in Christ. Good mission-minded. And his daughter and all, and he had a company, and he was going to hire Courtney. Because, it's hard to get a job once you get out of prison. Because, we talk about the mark of Christ, where you got the burden of prison. You're just like Joe Ball, you're carrying it. And everybody always said, well, I just got released. Well, from so my niece was testifying to my daughter about all the good things that Jesus was doing in her life. And of course, now for 7 years, we've been talking Jesus for 7 years, But now she's talking to her cousin. I think the same age, You talk to your grandpa here is one thing, right? But talking to someone your own age, it kind of makes a difference, doesn't it? I'll get back to the story in a minute. Contending for the faith. You have to have something worth fighting for. Baptized in the fire of the Holy Spirit, we're compelled to witness to what the Lord has done in our life. The Apostle Paul says, Romans 8:4. Can you quote it? That the righteous requirement. I'm sorry, I've got to have a favorite Romans guy over here, so I'm going to pick on you. I'm sorry. Okay. Paul writes in Romans 8:4, he says, the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in those that walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Jesus tells us in John 4:24, God is spirit. And those that worship him in spirit and truth. I got spirit. Yes, I do. I got spirit. How about you? We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? Yeah, I don't kind of like that. Huh? What's the spirit look like? I could see. I knew a man 14 years ago caught up in the third heaven, you know. He could see. John says, you know, that angel says, here, eat this little scroll. It'll taste like honey. Whoop. In the spirit, what? We can taste. Faith comes by hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. We can hear. All of our senses. We're not going to lose any of them. We might be able to walk through a door like Jesus does, appear. But we'll still have all our senses. Totally committed to the Lord. Die to the Lord. If we've died in death like His, we'll be made alive in a resurrection like His. So, totally committed to the Lord, being sanctified. Have we got that one yet? Sanctified by the Holy Spirit, who resides what? With us and within us. That's right. We can live in the Spirit. That's our new life. Remember, if you're just born from above, you see the kingdom of heaven, right? Well, I'll talk about those people in a minute. But if we're born of water and the Spirit, what happens? We'll get in the gate, don't we? Yeah, that's right. The gatekeeper wants to know how wet you are. The desire of our spirit, the desire to contend for the faith, has to begin at home with our closest family. Fathers teaching sons, mothers teaching daughters. You know, that's our first line of responsibility. Then it comes to telling others. Our relatives. Our friends. You know, who's our neighbor? You know? Everyone we're supposed to tell in the Word of God. There's no... And you need, if you try to tell something somebody something that you aren't doing, you know, how many of you have heard the saying, do what I say, not what I do? You know, you heard that? You know, and what does it do? It goes, psh, well, okay. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me, you know, so let's go party. So, we have to live by example. All right? Courtney would not have known the Lord if she hadn't seen the example that her dad made. A commitment that brought me to prison for 7 years. She would not have known the Lord if she hadn't seen her cousin and been able to look out and see Jesus in her life and turn around and go, I want what you have. I want what you have. This is what living in the Spirit is all about. It's letting Jesus live through us. You know, that was the greatest day, I think, one of the greatest days in my life. When my daughter called me up and she says, I want what Kristen has. Dad, how can I have the love of Jesus? I say, you have the love of Jesus. Just open your heart. Knock. It'll be open to you. Seek and you'll find. Ask. You know? Matthew 7:7, right? Christians truly love their neighbors. You know? Because we're all beloved by God, we're called to be saints. You know? And even above that, We love our enemies. That's what makes us different. Wouldn't it be great if all would come to repentance in Jesus Christ? That'd be awesome. You know, it'd be awesome. There's no greater security or peace than knowing the love of Jesus in our heart. I could tell you about it, but you have to experience it. I love the expression, you know, I can teach it to you, but I can't understand it for you. Mm-hmm. You got to taste and see that the Lord is good. You got to hear His words and let them come and do their work of salvation in your heart. A tree is known by its fruit. I got that up there somewhere, don't I? There it is, yeah. It's impossible, it's written in the book of Hebrews here, it's impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared the Holy Spirit, have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the ages to come, and then to have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance. Since they crucify again the Son of God to their own harm, holding Him up to contempt. Hebrews 6:4-6. It's impossible to restore. She's out earlier. Where'd she go? Oh, she's in Sunday school, I guess, little girl. And spilt her drink on the table. You know? And you know, and if we spill our drink on the table, you'll see my falling coconut sermon. It's gone. You know? That was open, and the water was spilled out. How can we get that water back? You can't, can you? It's gone. I love to use the expression of a helium balloon. You know, you take a helium balloon, you know, if you want to keep that helium balloon, well, you tie it to your wrist. You know, when we were kids, we'd tie the balloon and dance with it or play with it or whatever we do with it. But we had to secure it to ourselves. If you don't hold on to it, and you go, oh, well, just a minute, what happens? You know? But the grace of God is kind of like that too. If you don't embrace this present, you know, it's a present. It's you know, we're saved, you know, the grace is given to us as a present so that we can't boast about it. It's Ephesians 2:8-9, you know. And so if we love the Lord our God, we're gonna hug it up, you know? If I never hugged my wife, would she know I love her? If I never shared the peace with you, would we have contact? No. We have to embrace that grace and love it. Just as we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul. And it takes all our strength. You know, it's not easy believing. Right? And that's why Jesus says, that's the greatest thing that you can do. Everybody says, what's the work of God? We want to do something, man. Give me a hammer. Give me a crowbar. I want to go build something. I want to make a tower. I want to go out and you know, conquer the world. No. You got to do something harder than that. You got to get up every morning and believe. Jude gives us three examples in our reading today. The Israelites, the angels, Sodom and Gomorrah. When I think about the Israelites and what they witnessed, we're thinking Moses and Egypt and that. And just think about all these things. First, they witnessed the great plagues. I mean, you know, each one of the plagues were designed to show the falsehood of the Egyptian idols. You know? So the first thing they saw was all the gods of Egypt overpowered by the Lord our God. They never set free. They've been in slavery since Joseph, 438 years. That's older than the United States. You know? I know, because I went to school with Moses. That's what my grandkids say. They were led out to the Red Sea. They thought they were going to perish. Moses, you're crazy! Where are we going to go? Here comes Pharaoh's army. What did God do? Yeah. And they walk across on dry ground. Wow. They get to the other side. Here comes the army. Oh no, the army's going to get us. And the very dry ground that they just walked into becomes... And the ground, God drowns the army of Pharaoh. They saw that with their eyes. They lead out into the wilderness. We're hungry. Lord, where are we going to get? Where are we going to get food? Where are we going to get water? And God sends manna from heaven. Oh man, we're tired of this old bread. You know, we're tired of this old bread. You know, goodness gracious. And then we want meat. It gets quail by evening. Visible signs. We're thirsty. God says, Moses, go over and tap that rock with your stone, with your staff. Wow. Out comes a river. Water. Jesus says, I give you living water. Swell up within you to eternal life. And the rock that they followed was Christ, Paul tells us. Wow. But they didn't believe in their heart. They come to the mountain. God descends upon that mountain. Ooh, that would have been scary. Ooh, that's not hollow. There we go. Here comes God down the mountain. You know, okay, that's my earthquake. And He speaks to them. And all the hearing of the people, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And they were so scared, they ran away from the mountain. They didn't have to put a fence up. You know, just the very presence of God. Think about John. You know, John loved the Lord so much, you know. And at the Last Supper, he was so confident with Jesus that he goes over and he puts his head on Jesus' shoulder and says, Lord, who's going to betray you? But when he sees Jesus, the glorified Jesus at the revelation, what does he do? He falls down at his feet as dead. The people at Sinai were terrified because it's the God of judgment that came down. And he says, Beloved, I'm calling you to be saints. To be a nation of priests. To carry my word forward. To tell of my steadfast love and mercy. But they didn't believe in their heart. God sends them out. And for 40 years, by a pillar of smoke by day, and a pillar of fire by night, God descending and talking with Moses at the tabernacle, and they didn't believe. Lord, what's it take to get people to believe? An open and contrite heart I will not despise. We're called to repentance. And Peter says, God is patient. Not like we're patient. You know, we're patient. Well, maybe. Okay. A day, that's a long time. I was going to say a couple of minutes. But, you know, I mean, how long are you patient with your kids when they're going, I'm hungry. Okay, mom's getting something. But God is patient with us. So that all who have been called, because that's who Peter's writing to. He's writing to the elect. And so, and God has chosen. You know, look at the apostle, Paul as Saul. You know? Did he know God was calling him when he was growing up? No. Did he know God was calling him when he was a Pharisee? No. Did he know God was calling him when he was persecuting the church? No, but he got on that Damascus Road and what? Man, he was slapped. You better be careful too, because God keeps hitting you with a bigger stick until he gets your attention. He hit me with a tree, and I guarantee he got my attention when he hit me with a tree. Took 55 years of whacking before I got hit. Anyway, when God puts His Holy Spirit on you, you may not respond immediately. You know, I'll tell you in my story that when God finally made His call to me that I'd listened to, well, I didn't listen to it at first. I said, oh, I'm too old to be a pastor. I'm 55 years old. I'll be 60 years old before I get out of Greek. You ain't made you learn Greek, huh? Love it now, but anyway. Get that in my story later. Where are we here? Israelites. Even though they had that great witness of works, the great witness of the Holy Spirit, the great witness of the Word of God, they didn't believe in their hearts, and they perished in the wilderness. The next example that Jude gives us are the angels. The angels that didn't stay within their calling. Well, what's the calling of the angels? You know, what's the position of authority? Well, let's go back to the book of Hebrews again, first chapter. It says, aren't they all ministering spirits sent out to serve the elect? The angels of God are our servants. They collect our prayers and they take them and they put them in the golden bowls before the altar of God, and they ascend up like incense before you. How long, O Lord, before you avenge our blood, says the martyrs. I love to take the children and say, our guardian angels are always before our Lord. That's over in Matthew, 17, I believe? 16? 17. And if our angels, you know, they're not all over the place like God is. You know, they're not all over the presence. So it means if we have an angel up there before God, we've got one down here by us. And every time we offer a prayer, I kind of tell the kids, every time we offer prayer and say amen, we send our angel to put our prayer as incense before the throne of God. Let's smoke heaven, guys. Come on. Amen. 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 Smoking you, Lord. Right, dude? Wow. Well, there were some that were deceived, weren't there? And Satan led them astray. And Jude says they were cast down and put in chains until the time. Demons are among us. You know, we can't say that things don't happen from demon possession. I've witnessed it firsthand. I've seen demons come out of people. And then most recently we had the demonic attack in Sutherland Springs, Texas, where that young man came in and killed 32, worshiping just like we were worshiping now, walked in and just started shooting people. By the way, if that thing happens, throw a hymnal at them. Because they're dodging hymnals, they can't shoot you. Police officer told me, you know, a 70-year-old man can whiz a hymnal pretty good. Angels didn't stay with their own position of authority. Psalm 91 says, "For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up unless you strike your foot against a stone." Psalm 91, 11 and 12. Compare that over to Matthew, 4th chapter there, because you know, Satan kind of quotes that verse too. But read it out of Psalms, and then read what Satan quotes, and you see the lie. He doesn't quote the whole verse. Because God has given His charge over you and me as His beloved, who live by the Spirit, so we don't stumble in our faith. So we don't strike a stone that would turn us, our stonewall, the Word of God before us. God wants us to hear His Word. Because when we hear His Word, Christ is in our heart. Their time is short. But that doesn't make our tribulation any less. And Jesus tells us, John 16:33, He says, "In me you have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good strength. I have overcome the world." Our strength is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Sodom and Gomorrah. These are the ways of condemnation and judgment, how they're visible in our world today. How many do we see that are baptized in the name of Jesus who never surrender their heart and soul? One of the reasons Cindy and I came to you, I knew your spirit filled. I've been in so many churches, they're just hollow shells, even with people sitting in the pews. They profess the name of Jesus Christ, but they don't take Him out those doors. Remember Simeon, the magician, in Acts chapter 7? 8, chapter 8, 19-14. And Simeon, he believes in the Lord Jesus, just like all those Samaritans there that Philip is preaching to, doesn't he? He's baptized, you know? I imagine they had a deeper bowl than this. I bet they dunked him under. I love it. Can we get a river through here? Man, I tell you, I've done some river baptism. They're great, man. Better watch out. If I baptize you, I like to hold you under for a little bit. My wife doesn't swim. When she went under, she pulled. She pulled the pastor under, too. That's okay. Simeon then turns around and tries to buy the Holy Spirit. "Here, I got money. Can I buy what you got? You know? May your silver perish with you," Peter says. You know? We can't buy faith. You can't buy love. You know? You can't buy forgiveness. It's a gift of God. I like to say a true Christian is willing to give the shirt off their back. Right? You know, those who give up a meal, but we might not get one. To give freely without expectation. The proper place of the baptized is where? At the foot of the cross. The foot of Christ. And so Paul writes, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, you're not your own. You were bought with a price to glorify God in your body. Forgiven the Holy Spirit, right? Well, where God is, so is His temple. And He dwells in the Holy of Holies. God's Holy Spirit dwells in me and dwells in you. Then the Holy of Holies, a piece of that tabernacle where God is His holiness stays and lives right here. Oh man, take a deep breath. Breathe in that Holy Spirit. That's what pneuma is, the air of God. You know, every time, you know, just think of God's faithfulness in this. If we didn't have air, where would we be? 6 feet under. Right? We breathe our last, okay? Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Every time you take a breath, what are you doing? You're breathing in the Holy Spirit. Breathing in the Holy Spirit? The temple of God within us. Then what about our soul? Well, you remember you have the Holy of Holies, and then the next court out is called the sanctuary. The Greek word is naos. Here we are in the sanctuary. You are a sanctuary. You are a living sanctuary. Why? Because God lives in you. Your soul is the holy court. This is where we inseminate the Scriptures. This is where we hear the Scripture. When we hear the Scripture, what happens? He who hears, what? The faith of faith happens. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing through the Word of Christ. You are the holy court. Okay, where's the outer court? That's the world. That's outside. That's where the nations are, the people. They may be born from above. They can see God. They can see the kingdom of heaven. Right? But they're not in here, are they? Because they haven't put God into their heart. They're like the Israelites. And they perish in the wilderness. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. God arms us. Full armor of God. You know, Paul talks about that in Ephesians 6. And we put the shield on our arm. I love that. You know, everybody like Wonder Woman. Boy, I mean, kick. I mean, I shouldn't say that in church. But she could, you know, kick, you know what. And she always had that shield. You know what I like about the shield of faith? It says it quenches the darts of the devil. You know, Wonder Woman, she's all about bam, 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 you know, pew, 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 ricochet, you know. Somebody else is going to get, you ricochet a bullet. But if you quench it, it ain't going anywhere. And Jesus says, grow your seed like a mustard seed. It grows up into this big tree. That's right. And in its branches, what? The birds come and nest. And so our faith, we build up under the protection of that shield, which quenches the world, the darts of the devil, and we protect those whom we love, beginning with our family and then our neighbors, and we nurture them up in the Word of God until they're ready to leave the nest and put on their shield of faith. And how do we do that? We arm them with the sword. Spirit. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. Are there idols today? Oh yeah, look at all of them. You know, there's the Cardinals, and there's the Rams, and there's the Vikings, and Oh, I'm not very politically correct, am I? I'm sorry. And the Cowboys. And the Texans. Yeah. You know, a Christian does not do what comes naturally. And we talked, it began by saying, you know, that when we are transformed by the Spirit, and we live in the Spirit, we discipline our hearts and minds to be in Christ. Jesus says, if you love me, what do? Keep my commandments. John 14:15. Obedience to Christ. How are we obedient? We love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. How do we show it? We love our neighbor as ourselves. To love the Lord our God. So I urge you here today before God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, contend for the faith. Fight for Christ. How do we do that? We love one another. Enemies. This faith that's held in our belief in God through Jesus Christ is the very foundation of all that we are. Your love for family, your love for neighbors and friends, your love for all is centered on the foundation of the love of Christ, who loved us above all. You know? Willingly stretched out His arms. Now to Him who is able to keep you from falling, who is able to present you faultless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, to Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, and authority before all, now and forever. Amen.